Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Let's have a word of prayer and we get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just praise you. We worship and bless the name of Jesus. We come before your word with expectant hearts this morning. And we thank you for the word of the living God, the word of faith going out all over this world. And we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. All last week, we were talking about faith calls things that be not as though they were. Let's go back to our foundation scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 4, and let's begin reading with the 16th verse, please. Therefore, it is of faith, so that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, that means all the seed of Abraham. Now, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Galatians 3:29 says, and if you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Amen. And here it says that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now, look in the 13th verse, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Glory to God. And faith calls things that be not as though they were. Now let's go right back into where we were. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God. Now, if you have a cross reference in your Bible, if you'll look over there right by the word before him, it says, like him. So, like God, before God. In other words, in the very presence of God, like God, he called things that be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform. Now, let's remember here again, because this is just absolutely so vitally important promise here. This is not just a contract of some kind. No. This is blood covenant. The old covenant, God cut the covenant with Abraham, 17th chapter of Genesis, in the blood of animals. In the new covenant, it is the blood of God, the holy, precious blood of Jesus, which is even today in the heavenly holy of holies on the mercy seat of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, remember, faith calls things that be not as though they were. Fear, doubt, and unbelief calls things that be not as though they were. What? Oh, yeah. See, fear works in the same realm. In fact, what we know is fear was originally Adam's faith, and when he committed high treason, everything in him was perverted 180 degrees or twisted. So what was faith became fear, and when God called him, he was afraid, and he ran and hid. All right. When we understand that, if you just think about it a minute, people do it all the time. Well, you know, I don't know about that calling things that be not as though they were. Oh, you do it all the time. You just don't recognize that that's what it is, because that Satan is stuck with this system. He can't go outside what God has already said. You have to understand that. He can't go outside the faith system works. He can't go outside words. He can't go outside that. He's a fallen angel, and he has no right of his own. He cannot break and jump the traces of what Jesus has already done and laid down before him. He has to obey that. So that you think about what he does. God blesses and calls things that be not as though they were. Satan curses and calls things that be not as though they were. Oh, yeah. Somebody's looking in the mirror and says, blank. I'm losing my blankety blank hair. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'll do it. He'll come in and say, hey, doll, blank. Ah, they're going to lay me off down there. This is sure as blank. Hey, that's the way it works. And the devil can't get away from it. He has to get you to do that before he can get anything done in your life. So cut him off. Glory to God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Fear comes by hearing, and hearing by the lies of the devil. It's called worry, meditating on the lies of the devil. Yeah, amen. Glory to God. I woke some of you up this morning. Hallelujah. You need to be jumping up and running around the room. I expect some of you already are. Amen. But faith calls things that be not as though they were. And Jesus said, my words are not my own, but it's the Father that dwells within me. He does the works. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. I only do what I see my Father do. Well, see, Jesus did everything he did by faith. How do we know that? Because whatsoever does not proceed from faith is sin, and it's impossible to please God without faith, and Jesus perfectly pleased the Father. Whoa, hallelujah. Now then, he staggered not at the oath of God. Can you see it? He staggered not at the sworn oath. We'll say, Brother Cole, where'd you get that? Right over here in the book of Hebrews. Right here in the sixth chapter, where it plainly states in the 17th verse, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that'd be you and me, unto the heirs of promise, the immutability or the absolute unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Man, look at that. There it is right there. He confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation or a strong inner strength who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that's set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, sure and steadfast, which enters into that within the veil where the forerunner for us is entered, Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, here's the whole thing. God made covenant, praise God, with Abraham. You know, and people say they cut the covenant. That literally means, in the Hebrew language, it literally means the place where blood flows. And covenants are cut in blood. This goes back all the way back to the Garden of Eden when God made covenant with Adam and killed an animal and made clothes for he and his wife out of the fur of that animal. Now, I want you to notice something here now. In fact, let's go back here to the 17th chapter. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Whoa. Whoa. God appeared to him and said, I am the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply you exceedingly. Hallelujah. Whoa. Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, now listen to this. This is God. He's laying down covenant. Listen to him. As for me. Now see, Abram didn't have to receive this. He didn't have to do this. God wasn't slamming it on him. No, it is his choice. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. I want you to note it. He doesn't have any children. His wife is barren. He's 99 years old. But God says, I have made you the father of many nations. You see where he did it? He called things that be not as though they were. God speaking by faith. Now, when the word of God goes forth and you believe it and you receive it, like Abraham did, that releases the faith that God had in those words when he spoke it. Do you remember when they were in 3 o'clock in the morning, the little boat was out on the lake, and there's this horrible thunderstorm happening, and they're about to sink out there, and they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter said, Lord, if it be you, bid me come. Jesus said, come. Now, there's enough power and enough faith in those words that when Peter received it and he acted on it, he believed it in his heart, and he acted on it, he stepped out of that boat, not on water, but on come. On the power in the word come. Faith kept him up until fear replaced the faith and he started sinking. All right, now listen. I will make you exceeding fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, that's you and me. Hallelujah. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession. I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant before you and your seed after you in their generation. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and thy seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now, that was where the blood flowed. And I asked the Lord one time, I said, how come you to do that like that? Well, he said, you know, men cut covenant and that scar then shows that they're in covenant with somebody, and it's usually somebody stronger than they are. But he said, the covenant that I made with Abraham, he said, I didn't want that blood to flow in a place where it could be seen. I didn't want the scar to become the sign of the covenant. I said, what did you want? He said, I wanted the great abundance of all things to be so supernatural. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing of Abraham. And Jesus was made a curse for us that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. The Gentiles might receive the blessing of Abraham. Glory to God. Well, where is the mark of our covenant? Oh, let me tell you something, darling. Oh, yeah, glory to God. There is a mark of that. It's called the circumcision of the heart. Hallelujah. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, I want you to know the Word of the living God hit your spirit being and killed it, graveyard dead. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. Old things passed away and all things became new, but there's a scar there. And every demon of hell can see it. The devil himself can see it. And when you and I find out who we are and find out we have a blood covenant with God, I don't preach myself dancing happy. Hallelujah. Found out we got a covenant with God. Bless God. Look at this. We got this whole book in the blood of Jesus. Oh, my, my, my. And when you read Matthew 6:33, where Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. Well, he's telling us what our part is. But listen to the covenant promise. And all these things shall be added unto you. Why, you can just stand up and say, glory be to God. Set the communion elements in front of you. The blood and the body that was broken. See, that was a covenant breaking. Hallelujah. That was tantamount to the cutting of human flesh and joining blood. Oh, but far much more. Oh, but far greater. And you set those covenant elements there in front of you and you say, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I receive the covenant of Jesus. He said, all these things will be added to me. And I'm telling you, all these things are coming. I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Why? Because I have a blood promise. That's the reason Abraham said, okay, that's my name from now on. And every time he said it, his name said the name of God in the middle of his name. And when he said it, it literally said, I'm the father of many nations, and he's 100 years old, and his wife is 90, and she's never had any children. You know, people are saying, listen to that old man. I'm telling you, he's done that. He has lost it. And don't say it too loud. He's the richest guy in the neighborhood, you understand? He owns all this property we're living on. Oh, don't you love it? Oh, glory to God. And you'll keep my covenant. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man shall be circumcised. Aha. Remember what we read Friday of last week? David understood that. And he stood before Saul and he said, I'm going to kill that uncircumcised Philistine. See, David knew that he didn't have any more covenant than the bear and the lion had. That bear and the lion that tried to steal his sheep, I mean, man, they didn't have any chance against him. He's a covenant man. The Spirit of God came on him. I believe this because of what David said. He said, when that lion picked up my lamb, I grabbed him by the beard and I killed him. He killed him with his bare hands. Who does that sound like? Samson. Samson did the same thing. That covenant Holy Ghost strength came on David and man, he just ripped him apart. Glory to God. And he said, I killed that bear. I killed that lion. And that uncircumcised Philistine, I'm going to kill him. He didn't have any more covenant with God than the lion and the bear. I killed the lion and the bear, and I'm going to take him out. So, well, just let me have my sling and my rocks and my staff, and I'll get him, King. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm a covenant man. Hallelujah. Let me just read here just a couple of little things. And we'll take it up here again. Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.